Romans chapter 12. I bring you greetings from Janice. She is in Seattle with our two daughters, Stephanie and Jennifer. Jennifer recently got engaged New Year's Eve, got engaged to be married, will be married in May. And so Janice is up doing wedding planning. And the girls hung out. They all day yesterday, they went to this big bridal fair at the convention center in Seattle, spending my money. And so anyway, so pray for me. We've been in this series that we're calling Recalibrate. And the basic premise of this series is this. The Christian life is all about change. The Christian life is all about change. When we come to Jesus Christ, there are many things that God instantly changes, right? Our sins are forgiven. Our names are written in what the Bible calls the Lamb's Book of Life. We have eternal life. God fills us with His Spirit. There are so many things that instantaneously change when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. How many of you are thankful for the change that God brings to our lives? Amen? So many, many of the things that God does, He does just like that. Just we pray and things are different. But many of the changes that take place in our lives, as you know, they don't happen instantaneously. They happen over time. And they happen at various times. And there are ebbs and flows and ups and downs in our Christian experience. But the Christian life should always be a life of changing. We're always becoming more and more like Christ. And if that process stops in our lives, if we're not changing, then something's gone wrong. And we need to be aware of that, that we should always be looking for the changes that God wants to bring in our lives. So that's where this whole idea of recalibrate, because I want to challenge you to think about the changes that God might want to bring to your life in 2016. And so 2 weeks ago, we talked about recalibrating our heart. That it all really starts right there. It starts in the change of the heart. Last week, we talked about recalibrating our hearing, our spiritual hearing, that God is always speaking to us. We don't always hear Him like we should. How can we recalibrate our spiritual hearing so that in our prayer life, we're not just doing all the talking, but we're actually hearing what God wants to say to us? This morning, we're going to talk about recalibrating our vision, recalibrating our vision. Everybody say vision, vision, recalibrating our vision. Now, what do I mean by that? What do I mean by vision? And there are just four key words I want to give you just real quickly. Here's what I mean about having vision. First of all, I mean clarity, okay? Having clarity instead of everything being fuzzy and foggy, having clarity, having a sense of purpose. Okay, this is what my life is about. Having a sense of direction, like here's my purpose, but how am I going to get there? God showing us direction in our lives. So having vision for direction in our lives, and then hope. Oh, hope is so important for us to have. So this is the light at the end of the tunnel, right? This is us recognizing, man, there are dark, you know, times that we go through in every one of us in our lives, but with God, there's always hope. And how many of you know this world could use a little more hope? Amen? And so this is what I mean by having vision. Clarity, purpose, direction, and hope. And I think probably every one of us in this room could hold on to at least one of those words, and we could say, yeah, I could use a little more clarity right now. I could use a little more direction. I could use a little more sense of purpose in my life. I could use some hope in my life. And this is why it's so important. Vision is so important because vision is always going to determine the direction that you go. Having that vision is going to determine which way you end up going, the course that you take. At the beginning of 2015, so this time a year ago, I knew that I desperately needed to make some changes in my life. I was 60 pounds overweight. My blood pressure was managed through medication, but still not very good. I was unhealthy. I was tired most of the time, just lacked energy, because that's what being that much overweight does to you. And so I knew at the beginning of last year something had to change. And I knew more than anything else that the way I was thinking was going to have to change. Now, I changed a lot of behaviors for sure. And through the year, I didn't lose 60 pounds. I lost 65 pounds. My waist went from a 44 to a 35. I ran my very first 5K in my life. I got completely off of blood pressure medication. My energy level returned. A lot changed. And I want to thank all of you because you have been so encouraging to me. I got to tell you, it's been like having 500 cheerleaders. I'm serious. You're such encouragers. And, you know, it is great for us to cheer for our sports teams, but it's even more important for us to cheer for each other. Right? Like, go Team Bethel. Right? We should cheer each other on because it makes a big, big difference. And I'm telling you, I knew that things were going to have to change in how I was thinking about my life. I mean, the idea of running a 5K wasn't even on the radar for me. I didn't think that way. That was not in my vision. The last time I had run a 5K was when I was 16 years old. And it was the night after Rocky I came out. I'll never forget, it was a Friday night. Me and my best friend went to see Rocky I. The next morning, we met at his house wearing our sweats and our running shoes. We ran about 3 miles from his house to downtown Everett to the Snohomish County Courthouse and ran up the stairs of the courthouse like this. That was the first and last time that I ever ran a 5K. So for me to do what I've done this last year, it wasn't just a matter of changing some behaviors. I really had to change my vision. I had to stop thinking, I can't do this, and I had to think things like, yeah, with God's help, I can do this. I had to stop seeing myself as being a certain person and being a certain way to seeing what God could help me to become. Does that make sense? So in order to change behaviors in our life, because so often we focus on behaviors, we have to think about, okay, really what is this about? And how can I think of myself how can I think of what God wants to do in a different way? Before things will change in our lives, our vision is going to need to change, right? So in this series, Recalibrate Your Vision, we've had three kind of subtitles that you've noticed. Hopefully, three words: reevaluate, refresh, and realign. Okay, so reevaluate, being honest about where I am in different areas of my life, being honest about how I'm doing in my relationship with God, being honest with myself about where I am emotionally, physically, being honest about how I'm handling my finances, being honest about where my marriage is, so reevaluating things, and then with the Lord's help, being refreshed, being encouraged in the Lord. Amen? Like, okay, this is where I've been, but thanks be to God, I don't have to stay there. The Lord is on my side. He still loves me. And just letting the Holy Spirit just refresh us. So we reevaluate, refresh, and then realign. In other words, we need to realign our vision. We need to make some changes to get to where God wants us to be. So realign. We all know the feeling, don't we, of our car being out of alignment. You know that feeling you have? You're just riding down the road, and you realize, man, just... something's wrong with, you know, here. I have to work so hard at staying where I want to stay here on the road. And you realize, hey, my car is pulling one direction or pulling the other. My car is out of alignment. We've all had that feeling before. And so God wants to help us with that, get back into alignment with the vision that He has for our lives. But there has to be a template for that. Has to be a template. Because we can't just say, well, I know I'm out of alignment, so I'm going to make everything go this way, I'm going to make everything go that way. Because what happens is sometimes we try to fix things ourselves and we make things worse, right? We can overcorrect, we aren't using the right template. How many of you know people that just, they know they need some change in their life and so they go ahead and quit their job, right? And then they realize, well, that wasn't the answer after all. Or, you know, I need to make a change, and they make this change. And I happen to be married to one of those people that is a thermostat overcorrector. You know what I mean? We'll be driving down the road, and I'm totally comfortable. Janice, all of a sudden, she turns the air way, she is hot. So she turns the air conditioner on and gets it to a nice, cool 60 degrees, and then wonders why she's too cold. And then cranks it back up to 80, and you know, we go back and forth between 60 and 80. And I just, honey, you know, we can fix this. Right here at 70 is just nice, you know. We can make it just perfect in here. But see, some people are like that in life. They know something needs to change, but they've got no template. They have no idea what needs to change. And so this morning, let's talk about that a little bit. What is the template? What is the template for having correct, aligned vision in our lives? We're going to look at this passage in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now listen, Paul is addressing this letter to Christians living in the city of Rome. These people were confronted by a multitude of temptations to blend into the culture around them. Ancient Rome, okay? Think modern-day Las Vegas at its worst, okay, times that by 10. Ancient Rome. The Roman Colosseum was regularly packed with bloodthirsty spectators, literally cheering on the violent deaths of defeated gladiators. Now, many of you, you're repulsed by MMA. I mean, these people are literally taking swords and spears and javelins and clubs to each other and beating each other to a bloody pulp and murdering each other, and people are in the stands cheering it all on. That's ancient Rome. Immorality filled the streets. There were idols and temples to every imaginable god in earth. Slavery was legal and regularly practiced. Women were treated as property. Sorcery, witchcraft, fortune-telling were commonplace. Ancient Rome. And then in the midst of all of this now, the gospel has come. And the church is being planted and established. Household by household, people are coming to faith in Christ. And they are leaving behind the culture that they were once part of, and now they have a whole new culture. These are the people that Paul is writing to. And Paul is saying, look, if you want to know how to live a life that pleases God, if you want to know what God's good, perfect, pleasing will is, then this is what it's going to take. It's going to take total surrender to the will of God and total rejection of the culture that you currently find yourselves in. Notice he starts off by saying this, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament times, there were all kinds of different sacrifices. The most common one that we think of is we think of sin sacrifices. So when someone sinned, they would bring a sacrifice to cover for their sins. That's not what Paul is talking about here, because Jesus Christ has already been our sin offering. No need to do that any longer. Amen? So Paul is not talking about the sin offering or the sin sacrifice that they made in the Old Testament. But also in the Old Testament, they had a sacrifice that they called a thank offering. A thank offering. This was just an offering that people could bring. It wasn't because they committed a sin. It wasn't something that was even required of them. It was just people that wanted to say, God, you've been so good to me. Thank you. And they would come and they would make a sacrifice to God as a thank offering to God. It was a thank offering, a thank sacrifice. This is the sacrifice that Paul is talking about here. Notice that he starts off, so he says, since, because of what Jesus has done, in view of God's mercy, offer yourselves. So in view of the cross, in view of what Jesus has done for you, now a proper fitting response is to give thanks to him by laying down your lives to him. That is what it means to present yourselves to God as a living sacrifice. God, you've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. Lord, this is all I can give you. I can never pay you back, but I give my life. I totally surrender my life to you. So we make ourselves thank offerings to God. And then he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Now, interesting Greek word that Paul uses here. The word mundus is a Greek word that literally means the physical, spatial world that we live in. That's not the word that Paul uses here. Here, Paul uses another Greek word that's translated as world. It's the word seculum, from which we get our word secular. Okay? So when he talks about don't be conformed to the world, he's not talking about the physical, spatial world. He's not saying you have to, be different in terms of, every single thing you do in life, but your basic world philosophy, your values, those things that are precious to you, your beliefs, all of that shouldn't look like the world around you, okay? Would you please get a little excited about those Greek words? Because us preachers, we love sharing these. And I know you love it too. When I lay a little Greek knowledge on you, it's just awesome, right? Okay, so this is the word seculum, secular. Paul is saying, look, your life should look different. Don't conform to the world around you. Well, listen, church, things haven't changed a lot in the last 2,000 years. They really haven't. And we're either going to align ourselves with the world around us, or we're going to align ourselves with Jesus Christ. Amen? So I want you to just answer a couple of questions this morning. Just being honest, are you aligning to the values, principles, and standards of this world, or are you aligning to the values, principles, and standards of Jesus? I mean, just being honest, having vision for your life, how is your life lining up? Are you lining up with the world or with Jesus? Now listen, thinking back to your car, when your car gets out of alignment, which it does from time to time, there are basically two causes of your car getting out of alignment. First of all, there's normal wear and tear. It happens over time. Normal wear and tear. The other thing that will cause your car to get out of alignment is a sudden jolt, right? You people that drive by Braille, and you know you're close to the curb because you just smacked the curb, right? So these are the two things that will cause your car to get out of alignment: normal wear and tear, or a sudden jolt. And I'm convinced that life is kind of like that when it comes to our life getting out of alignment. There's normal wear and tear of life. Just normal wear and tear. Life can be hard. We wear out sometimes. We start veering off course. Normal wear and tear. Sometimes we have a sudden jolt in life. We come up against something, something hits us, we weren't expecting it, and it throws us off course. Okay? These are the things that can get us out of alignment and cause us to be off the vision that God has for our lives. But here's the deal. Just like your car isn't going to automatically fix itself, if it's out of alignment, you got to do something about it. It's like that with your life. If you find yourself out of alignment today, you can just kind of hope things get better. Or, with God's help, you can say, look, I need to get back into alignment here. With God's help, I need to get these things straightened out. I need to refocus my life. Jesus said this. He said, the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy, but I come that they might have life and have it to the full. The devil wants to rob your vision. He wants your life to get out of God's alignment. He wants to rip you off. So I want to challenge you this morning. Would you once again decide, I want to get a hold of God's vision for my life? I don't want to conform to the ways of this world. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And I want to go after, with everything I have, the vision that God has for my life. Amen? Listen, young people, God has a vision for who you're going to marry someday. Young men, God wants to give you a godly woman who loves Jesus. God wants to give you a woman who has high standards. High standards. And if you feel like, oh man, I'm looking for a girl that's maybe doesn't have such high standards, remember, that's going to be your wife. That's going to be the mother of your children. You want her to have high standards. Amen? Yeah. And if she'll compromise for you in the backseat of a car, she'll compromise later on in life too. You want a woman who is godly. Young ladies, don't settle for any old jerky guy that comes along. Come on, God has a vision for a man of God for your life. He has a vision for that. And I know it's hard because sometimes those guys are hard to find. They're hard to find, and all your friends, they've got boyfriends, and you know, they're holding their hand around school and buying them flowers and stuff, and it's probably tempting to say, maybe I don't need to have a guy that's here. Maybe I can settle for a guy that's... No, you don't want this guy that's down here. You're going to be married to that guy the rest of your life. Hold out for the guy God has for you. This is what I mean by keeping a vision that's aligned with God's vision for your life. And for you folks that are married, there was a time in your life where you had a vision for your marriage. You believed this is what our marriage was going to be. And then life happened, right? And you realized you were married to a sinner. And your spouse realized they were married to a sinner. And everything didn't go maybe the way you thought they should go in your marriage. And your vision's maybe been a little blurred. Can I tell you this? Those years of experience, they can actually, with God's help and His grace, they can make you have a greater love than what you had when you first got married. Right? When your eyes are opened up and you realize, okay, life isn't perfect, marriage isn't perfect, my spouse isn't perfect, you can have a greater, deeper love than you've ever had before. Would you allow God to give you a fresh vision for your marriage? Amen? Fresh vision for your marriage. Some of you, you had a vision of being financially unburdened and free. But then what you saw is you saw your friends having nicer cars than you and living in better houses than yours. And so where at one time in your life you said, well, I'm not going to go into all kinds of debt, all of a sudden you started making compromises. and you found yourself under a pile of debt, I want to challenge you today. Let God give you a vision to be debt-free and unburdened by that yoke of debt. Amen? Because God can do that in your life. God wants to give you a vision. Parents, God has given you a vision for how you want to raise your kids. That you want to raise young men and women who love Jesus and who have high standards and are going to follow God, and they're not going to bow their knee to the idols of this world. That's the vision God has given you in raising your kids. But over time, that vision begins to get blurry because their friends don't do that and their friends' parents aren't so strict. And listen, hold on to the vision. Hold on to the vision that God has given you for your family. Don't give up. Don't give up. Let God establish vision in your life. Let God give you vision. Let God give you vision for that business that you started. Let God give you vision for the ministry that He gave you. The enemy, the thief, wants to kill and steal and destroy what God is doing. But with God's help, you can revive that vision and get back on track. Amen? Get back on track with what God has for your life. So how are we going to do that? How do we regain that vision? How do we get clarity, purpose, direction, and hope in our lives? I'm going to go back to Romans chapter 12, and I want to give you two things here, two simple things. Romans chapter 12, once again, just put it up there on the screen. Here's the first thing. If you want to get realigned with God's purposes for your life, first of all, resist the current. Resist the current. How many of you have ever been swimming, maybe in the ocean or a river, and all of a sudden you realize that you had underestimated the strength and power of the current? Have you ever been there? It's a scary place to be. It happened to me several years ago in Hawaii. Janice and I were in Hawaii celebrating our 25th anniversary. We brought our kids with us, so the five of us were there. We're having a great time. And one day we're out doing some snorkeling and swimming, and I'm a fair swimmer. I'm not a great swimmer. So I just out there swimming. I'm going, man, this is easy. I feel good. And I'm swimming. And I turn around. Finally, I'm just looking at all these beautiful fish and stuff and kind of, you know, lost track of where I was. Before I know it, I turn around and look, I am way away from the shore. And I think, well, I swam here. I can swim back, no problem. Then I start swimming back and I realize, okay, now I know why it was so easy. I was going with the current before. And I'm swimming against the current, and I'm telling you, I mean, I was afraid for my life. It was a long time before I could touch the ground again. And I was so thankful, boy, when I first hit that sand again, oh, thank you, Jesus, I'm back. And it reminded me of the power of the current. There is a current, friends, in our culture. It is so easy for us to start to drift away from the vision God has for our lives. It is so easy. The Christian life should never be easy. Listen, bad habits are like a comfortable bed. They're easy to get into and hard to get out of. Right? The Christian life should never be an easy life. It should never be a comfortable life. Why? Because you're always going to be swimming against the current of this world. You're always going to be swimming against the current. It should always be hard work. Now, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. Jesus said, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. So He's going to help us. He's going to be with us. But if we just go with the flow in life, we're going to find ourselves in places we don't want to be. Amen. So getting back online with God means resisting the current. Do not conform to this world. Do not conform to this world. Now, this verse isn't telling us that we shouldn't have any non-Christian friends, okay? It's not what it's saying. There's a lot of Christians who don't have any non-Christian friends anymore. That's not where God wants us to be either. We're supposed to be salt and light. It's hard to be salt and light if we're always in our holy huddle up here at Bethel Church and we're not out there being salt and light in the community, amen? We should all have friends who don't know Jesus. It's not what this verse is saying. This verse is saying, though, we shouldn't take our cues, our life cues, from people who don't know Jesus. Amen? I mean, why would I take marriage advice from someone who doesn't even believe that marriage is from God. Right? Why would I listen to people who don't know Jesus when it comes to leading my life? I'm not going to take my cues from them. Okay? Your thinking is either going to be influenced by this world or it's going to be influenced by Jesus. Okay? So the first thing is you got to resist the current. Second thing is this: trust the process. Trust the process. There's a process God is taking us through, and we need to cooperate with what God is doing. Do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Okay? This is a work that the Holy Spirit does. It's not something we can do by ourselves. It's what the Holy Spirit does, but we have to cooperate with what the Holy Spirit is doing. Does that make sense? It's like, okay, I can't just transform my own mind. That's not going to work. Only God can do that. But I do have a part in it. There are choices that I make in this whole thing. I need to decide to cooperate with the process. I need to cooperate with what God wants to do in transforming my life. And of course, Jesus, guys, Jesus is the ultimate example for us in all of this. He is the perfect example for us to follow. Because Jesus categorically rejected all of the worldly philosophies, all of the worldly values and morals, categorically rejected all that the world had to offer, but at the same time, he resolutely embraced the will of the Father. He was able to live a perfect life because he did not conform to the world, but he embraced the will of God in his life. He is the ultimate example for us. Aren't you thankful for God today, amen, and all that he wants to do in our lives? So I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray that if your life is out of alignment, God helps you, starts this process of realigning your life. Let me give you one last verse, and we're going to use this as a springboard for praying this morning. For we are God's masterpiece. Say, I am God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. Love that. You're God's masterpiece. God's got a vision for your life. And if the enemy has gotten you off course, if you've kind of lost that vision, I want to pray for you this morning that God would reestablish his vision for your life, your marriage, your finances, your health, that God would reestablish vision for your life. Jesus came to give you abundant life. So let's pray this morning. Let's pray. Here's what I want you to do. This might seem kind of odd to you, but since we're praying for vision, I want you to do something just symbolically with me today, because I'm going to be praying for spiritual vision, but just as kind of a physical act, would you right now just take your two hands and place them over your eyes, okay? Place them over your eyes. So I'm going to let this morning that your physical vision be a kind of a picture of spiritual vision. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I come before you today. And God, I confess along with your word, God, that I am God's handiwork. I am God's masterpiece. I am God's workmanship. God, that you have a purpose, a plan, and a destiny for my life. Lord, this morning, I want my vision to come from you. I don't want my vision for life to be influenced by the world, by the enemy. I don't want my vision for life to be influenced by the jolts I've taken in life or by the wear and tear I've experienced. God, I ask you this morning to reestablish your vision in my life, God. I want that vision that you have for my life, and where the enemy wants to kill and steal and destroy that vision, God, I know you've come to give me abundant life. So Lord, I pray for your people today. I pray, God, for married couples that you would reestablish vision for their marriage. I pray for our young people, God, that they will not be influenced, God, by the vision that this world has for their life, but God, that they hold on to the vision you have for their life and for their future. God, I pray that you will reestablish a vision for our health, God, Some of us has just resigned ourselves and said, well, it's just the way it's going to be. I'm just going to be a person who's in bad health. God, I pray, Lord, that you would show them, no, you can help them to be a healthy person physically, a healthy person emotionally and mentally, God. Lord, I pray for reestablishment of vision in our lives, God. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. God, this morning we intentionally, deliberately take hold of what you have for us, God, that we will not be conformed to this world, but God, we will, with your help, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Renewing of our minds. Thank you, Lord. With everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to ask this. Are you here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus yet? Or maybe you've had a relationship with Jesus, but you don't have a relationship that's current, and you know you're really not walking with the Lord today. But today you want to come back to the Lord, or today you want to give your life to Jesus. I want you to know your life does have purpose. Your life has meaning in Jesus Christ. God wants to restore that vision, that purpose of life in you, but it all starts with a relationship with Jesus. And so this morning, if you want to have that relationship with Jesus, I want to lead you in a very simple prayer. And I'd like you to just agree together with me in that prayer. And if you want to pray that prayer along with me, would you just raise your hand up right now? Just hold your hand up and just say, Tim, when you raise your hand, you're just saying, Tim, I want to be included in this prayer. All across this audience this morning. Yeah, God bless you, young man right down here. Others today, you want to be included in this prayer. You want to give your life to Christ today, or you're returning to Christ, whatever it may be. If that's you today, would you raise your hand this morning? Oh, man. Yeah, God bless you right back here, right down the center aisle. God bless you. Anybody else? Man, I believe God brought you here this morning. God wanted you to hear this message. God loves you. He cares for you. He wants your life to have purpose and meaning. I mean, he knows it does. He wants you to know it does. Anybody else? Awesome, awesome. Those of you who raised your hand, I want you to pray along with me. In church, would you pray with those that have raised their hand this morning? Father in heaven, I bring my life to you today. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, that you died on a cross for me, and you've risen from the dead. This morning, I invite you into my life. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Give my life purpose and meaning. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Amen. You know, the Bible says, church.